is Dr. Tomas Villanueva, your host for this podcast, and I have exciting news to share with you. For the third year straight, Modern Practice Podcast has won the Hermes Award in the podcast category. This time, we received two Platinum Awards, the highest offered in the competition for our episodes, Surviving Cardiac Arrest, which was posted in June 1st of 2023, and Facing Hostile Patients, Part 1, from September 28, 2023. If you haven't heard these podcasts, I encourage you to listen on whatever podcast platform you use. And thank you so much for joining us at Modern Practice. On our episode today, we'll examine the benefits for organizations and practices who participate in research studies and research marketing. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Tomas Villanueva, Senior Principal for Performance Improvement Consulting at Vizient and Practicing Internist. Joining me today is Dr. Dylan Steen and Dr. Daniel Flora, who will tell us more about research marketing. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for having me.
So Dylan, why don't you remind the audience of your background and your current role?
So my name is Dylan Steen. I'm an adjunct associate professor at the University of Cincinnati. I'm a cardiologist in our cardiovascular division. And pertinent to this conversation, I'm the CEO and co-founder of a company called High Enroll, which really helps research sites bring awareness and engagement to their studies. I'm a practicing cardiologist, as I mentioned, and also a formerly trained clinical trialist.
Thanks. And Daniel, how about you?
Thanks, Tomas. Yeah, my name's Dan Flora. I'm a medical oncologist at St. Elizabeth Healthcare. And my background is a little bit in pharmacology. I was a pharmacist prior to getting into medicine, so kind of a unique background there. But currently, my role is helping to direct the medical oncology research program at St. Elizabeth, and I've been involved with that for about the last 10 years.
Thanks. Fascinating. So, gentlemen, let's get started and let's level set. Dylan, tell me a little bit about research marketing and High Enroll. What exactly is that?
Yeah, so the term research marketing, I use it basically to describe how do you get awareness of your enrolling studies at whatever institution you might be. How do you bring that awareness to not only your healthcare providers internally, but also those externally, as well as to your patients who are oftentimes looking for research study opportunities, as well as the broader public? So when I talk about marketing, I talk about thinking about how do we get great content to all those different groups of people. How do we make the process of understanding how to participate in a research study easier? And how do we facilitate anyone who's interested communicating with the research team or the investigator who's doing that study? High Enroll is really focused on all of those things and doing it at any type of site in any area of research.
So how did this get started?
So as I mentioned, I am a clinical trialist by training. The story actually starts probably back in my fellowship when I was a fellow trying to help research studies that were enrolling at the University of Miami. I thought it was wonderful that we were doing all these amazing studies. We were actually doing the first TAVR trial in the entire U.S. It was a really, really big deal. After that, I went to the Harvard system. I worked at a group called the TIMI Study Group, which is a very big research organization in the cardiovascular metabolic space. Really got to know research, how it was done across the globe, and just how important this recruitment problem was. So if you don't know, recruiting participants for research studies is actually the number one problem in all of human research. It is one that has not been solved, arguably, for decades. And one of the biggest problems is that research sites and companies that are doing these studies have an enormously hard time bringing awareness of the studies to the very people that need to be involved, the doctors that are taking care of their patients and the patients that are coming in to see them. So we have to make that better. We have to make it easier. We have to make it more scalable. That is why High Enroll was started. And again, it's been a passion of mine since I was back in my training days. High Enroll is really the fruition of a long time working on this.
You know, this fascinates me as a practicing physician, because you're right. Now, I don't practice in an academic environment, but I do treat a lot of patients that, quite frankly, if the opportunity arose for them to be in part of a study, I'm sure they'd actually like that, particularly for those of us that practice in an area that may be considered a destination. So how are healthcare systems actually resolving this issue?
Well, the reality is most systems are not solving it right now. It's almost entirely unsolved in any type of sense. There have been attempts to solve it via a couple different channels. You may have been at your local healthcare system, or maybe where you work, and you'll see paper tear pads on the wall of the cafeteria,
yeah,
or maybe some posters in a clinic waiting room, something like that. Sometimes websites for the healthcare system will have some of the studies that are enrolling posted, but really, the effort has been very, very minimal to date, and it certainly hasn't been done across multiple channels. And what I mean by that is, if you're a patient, you might expect to be able to learn about their studies via paper materials or social media, via the website, via mobile applications, the works. Right now, it's been very sparse and only through one, maybe two channels. So most patients really have no idea what if their doctor is participating in research, if the institution where they get their care has studies that might be pertinent to them, and certainly feel very uncomfortable with the process of even engaging with those studies, even if they know one was ongoing.
Daniel, out of curiosity, many cancer centers that are associated with community facilities normally don't have some type of academic association, but I'm starting to see some associated with systems that are seeking out some type of association or even credentialing, if you will, with some of these well-known national cancer centers. Is that still a problem among these organizations?
Yeah, I think all of us in community cancer centers are looking for opportunities to link up with institutions that traditionally have provided opportunities for research for their patients, particularly in the cancer setting. Things are really changing. I'd say, Dylan, you hit it right on the nail with a couple of the things he's mentioned, but we're not doing a very good job of getting it out there. Community cancer centers like ours are really where about 80% of the patients are being seen. And so only about 20% of the patients are actually seen in those academic centers that traditionally have had clinical trials available. So there's been a big, almost like a paradigm shift over the last decade to move cancer research into community centers like ours. And so now there's this gap in knowledge that we even have a research opportunity for our patients at a community oncology center. So we have almost 30 studies available, which is up there with some academic centers. So those opportunities, I think, is where we really need to get that out to the community, to patients, to physicians, both internally and externally, and our administrators too.
So what does Hyrule do that's actually so unique?
The way I look at clinical research studies is that we should look at them like valuable products. All right, let's picture that we are BMW and there's a new line of cars that's going to be launched. Fantastic engineering, beautiful vehicles. Well, we know before we're going to sell those cars, we need to let the public know that they're coming, what makes them so special, where we're located and where they can come and take a test drive, what the lease plans look like, how to purchase one, et cetera. So if we thought about our enrolling studies like that, I think we'd make a big step forward. And the reality is, there's no reason why we shouldn't. These clinical trials are what are moving medicine forward. In many cases, they provide an innovative treatment that would not otherwise be available to the patient. And on average, patients in clinical trials do better than those who are not. And that has been shown across all areas of research for a very long time. So providers should be offering these to their patients. What Hyrule does is allow a research site to say, let's think about our research program. Let's think about what kind of radius we want to draw around our site for engaging healthcare providers, patients, and the public. Then Hyrule can be the tool that allows that information to be marketed to patients and providers through multiple channels. So as an example, HiEnroll has a mobile application, OneTouch, that's available for healthcare providers to follow research site studies, get all the content they need on those studies, to engage with the research team and refer patients in. It allows the research site to push out beautiful email campaigns. It allows the research site to automatically, electronically update its website or websites with all its enrolling studies without having to get IT involved. There is also a mobile application that's really simple and painless for patients. It allows the site to launch digital media campaigns, to put up paper tear pads and other posters and print materials in its clinics, all kinds of different options for reaching patients and the public and its healthcare providers. It's really a one stop for all things awareness and engagement, or what we call research marketing.
Lots of things blew up with the pandemic. Did this process to access the research also blow up?
Dan, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I would say in a negative way. Unfortunately, while it was exciting that we were getting telemedicine up and running, where we were seeing patients at a distance, it unfortunately impacted clinical research. In fact, I think most centers across the country went on enrollment holds for a quite long period of time. Our institution was under an enrollment hold for 6 months just because a lot of it cannot be done remotely. So now things are shifting a little bit because of that in a positive way, but that process was delayed such that now we're doing a lot of remote visits and remote monitoring for research studies. In fact, this is becoming an opportunity. If during that time, it was a big setback. A lot of institutions lost a lot of patients and staff during that time because of the fact that they weren't recruiting the studies. But I'm hoping that over the next few years, we're really shifting that model where we can do more remote clinical trials. And this is really an opportunity. So I think that the pandemic did affect us in that way, but hopefully it will allow us to make some advancements in the way that we're doing research.
Gentlemen, thanks for your insights. I'm looking forward to finishing our talk in the next episodes. And to our listeners, you can contact our guests at their email addresses posted on our resource section. And if you have any additional questions pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send us your comments, please contact me at modernpracticepodcast@visiantinc.com. And please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And now, I'm Dr. Tomas Villanueva. Thank you so much for listening.